Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, you pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again.
This is the voice of prophecy, a voice crying in the wilderness of these modern days. Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Is coming again.
From our Voice of Prophecy studios in Los Angeles, California, we welcome you to this half hour of inspiration and music, transcribed with the King's Heralds, Del Delker, Brad Braley, and HMS Richards, the Voice of Prophecy speaker. Let's begin our program today by joining the quartet as we place our trust and confidence in God, leaning on the everlasting arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Secure from all alarms, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms,
Now is Miss Del Delker with a song that is a description in music of a beautiful land on high.
There's a beautiful land on high, to its glories I fain would fly. When by sorrows pressed down, beautiful land on high.
Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for another day of life. We thank Thee for Jesus Christ, our Lord, and His salvation. We thank Thee for redemption in Him. Bless this broadcast to help people everywhere, for we ask it in Jesus' name.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God.
O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who bow before Thee, near to the heart of God.
Now, here is H.M.S. Richards, the Voice of Prophecy speaker, whose subject today is getting married.
In her book, The Real Home, Vesta Farnsworth tells the story of Archbishop Ryan, who went to a mining district one day to administer confirmation to a class about to enter the Catholic Church. During the service, a nervous little girl was asked what matrimony was. Oh, she said, it's a state of terrible torment which those who enter are compelled to undergo for a time in order to fit them for a better world. No, no, interrupted the assistant. You're thinking of the definition of purgatory. Let her alone, said the old archbishop. What do you or I know about it? Maybe she's right. Whether married life becomes a blessing or a torment depends upon the persons who enter that sacred union. Many seem to think that marriage is a state of bliss whether they try to make it that or not. They paint an imaginary picture of married life, lovely as a summer day. But they soon awake to the realities of their dream, and sad indeed is their experience if they are not prepared for storms and tempests. After the honeymoon is past, the trying hour comes, if any deception has been practiced. Now the persons really become acquainted, and the business of adaptation faces them. They must learn how to live happily and peaceably and successfully together. This is certainly a great attainment for two imperfect human beings. We know that two different musical instruments are not easily kept in tune. What then can be expected of two human harps, each with 1,000 strings needing constant adjustment and tuning to keep them in harmony? The husband must do his part, the wife hers. One young wife said confidingly to her mother, "You know, Mom, a woman has to be very generous when she's married. She has to care ever so much more about someone else than about herself or her work in the world, or even about how much her husband cares for her. She must like helping out better than being helped out, or she can't be happy." What a test that is, too. Caring for someone else more than we care for ourselves or our work, or even about what the other party cares for us. Helen Hunt Jackson expressed it this way, "Oh, love is weak, which counts the answers and the gains, weighs all the losses and the pains, and eagerly each fond word drains of joy to seek. When love is strong, it never tarries to take heed, or know if its return exceed its gift. In its sweet haste, no greed, no strife belong. It hardly asks if it be loved at all, to take so barren seems, when it can make such bliss for the beloved's sake of bitter tasks. So much we miss if love is weak, so much we gain if love is strong. God thinks no pain too sharp or lasting to ordain, to teach us this. This is one of the important ingredients of happiness in married or single life. If the husband obeys the scriptural command, 'Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it,' Ephesians 5:25, he will be all that a wife can desire. And if the wife will fill in the same apostle's picture, 'She that is married careth how she may please her husband,' she will be going a long way toward a happy and successful marriage. God did not create mankind to live in loneliness and solitude. In the very beginning, Adam had been brought forth and placed over the works of God's hands. The Creator said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him.' Genesis 2:18. He needed a help meet or proper or standing opposite or equal to him. So Eve was created. One of America's best-known and successful ministers, Clarence Edward McCartney, suggests the following 5 don'ts to young men contemplating marriage. Since people usually can remember a negative more easily than a positive, the admonition to the young man is, don't marry a woman who does not pray. Don't marry a bad-tempered or jealous woman. Don't marry a woman who loves public places of pleasure and entertainment more than her home. Don't marry a woman who drinks. Don't marry a woman who cannot cook or learn to cook. To the young woman, McCartney says, don't marry an unbeliever. Don't marry a man of bad habits. Don't marry a coffin man, a man who hides away in a room by himself and no one else with him. Don't marry a peacock man, a conceited man. Don't marry a man of low moral standards. The marriage of Mark Twain with Olivia Langdon illustrates how unbelief in a husband may affect a believing wife in marriage. She was a simple, devout Christian. During their first married days, they had grace at meals, read a chapter from the Bible every day, but this was soon abandoned. Later on, the young wife confided to her sister that she had given up some of her religious convictions. Her husband's philosophy and views depressed her and finally shook her faith in the providence of God. At last, the day of terrible bereavement came, and she was facing the dark valley. Then the great writer said to his suffering wife, Livy, If it comforts you to lean on the Christian faith, do it. But she answered, I can't, youth. That was always her name for husband. I haven't any. The thought that he had destroyed his wife's faith, even though to him it was an illusion, was a terrible trial to Mark Twain in his later days. Why, Christian friend, not take the advice of the apostle and marry only in the Lord? 1 Corinthians 7:39. Christians should marry Christians. Marriage is an important business. It's for life. The good book says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Reading Proverbs 4:23. That's why it's so important to be careful in getting married. For Jesus said, as we read in the 19th chapter of Matthew, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh? Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Young people owe the greatest love, care, and responsibility for their parents, and should do everything possible to see that they have proper care and loving assistance. But it is very important that every young couple have their own home, if at all possible, at least for the first years of married life, until they become accustomed to each other. No young husband or young wife should have the added difficulty in the first years of marriage of trying to learn to get along with a whole household of in-laws as well as with a new partner in the life fellowship. Thousands of otherwise happy marriages have been broken up and destroyed by in-law influence, and in most cases there was no such intention at the beginning. So let me say again, it is of paramount importance to have your own home, especially in the early years of marriage. Later on, when parents are old or ill, they may be a benediction and blessing to the home. Another thing, no man should get the idea that his wife is a personal possession. She's not his property, she's his partner. And husband, you will hold your wife's love by the same means that you won it. Before you were married, you took care of yourself. You shaved, you had a haircut when needed, you kept your clothes pressed. You brought her little gifts, you spoke kindly to her, you expressed your love. If you wish to keep her love, continue to do the first works. Be her sweetheart and lover all through life, and she will be increasingly yours as long as life shall last. The building of a home, not merely a house, is your first business, and you are to cooperate with your wife by establishing family discipline. Don't nag your wife about dieting. It will certainly bring discord into the household harmony and will do no good. Enter the house with cheerfulness. Always remember that the wife assumes she has married a man and not a bear. Never allow anyone to criticize your wife in your presence and get away with it. Not even your mother or father, brothers or sisters, or any relative. Don't take your wife for granted. Don't let little misunderstandings grow into big ones. Make the first move toward a reconciliation. Talk together, play together, pray together, live together. And as the scripture says, let the husband cheer up his wife. And now, wives, just a word to you. Be sure to honor your womanhood, that your days may belong in the house which you call home. Don't expect your husband to give you all the luxuries that your father was able to give you after many years of hard labor and economy. Don't be extravagant with money, for the wrong use of money has broken up more than one home. Don't forget good humor. Smile a lot. Men will give a lot for a woman's smile. Don't nag, but coddle your husband, for every man likes to be fussed over. And remember this, frank words of approval of your husband are worth more than all the side glances of strangers. Don't forget to be clean and neat in your dress about the house. Learn to cook the things he likes, and cook them. Don't let anyone run your husband down in your presence, not even your mother or sister or aunt, or any of your kinfolk. And here's a commandment that should never be forgotten. Thou shalt keep thy home with all diligence, for out of it come the joys of old age. Commit your ways to the Lord, pray for guidance, and someday your children will rise up and call you blessed, your husband also, and he will praise you. This is a big and important subject to every one of us. We could not exhaust it in many hours, but time is short and life is fleeting. So we shall just say this. Love must be expressed in the home. Marriage must be a constant, lifelong expression of love. Let every man love his wife, even as himself. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, declares the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5:28. And in verse 25 he says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And this love must be mutually expressed. Grandma, what makes your silver sugar bowl so black? Asked the little girl. Why, it's been standing in the cupboard for 10 years. I haven't thought it worthwhile to bring it out for family use. And there hasn't been a great occasion in the family for years. So in some homes, the golden love and the silver affection are hidden away for rare occasions. The funeral of a loved one whose stilled heart has been yearning for words of appreciation and love, and the knowledge that someone cared. If you do care, show it. Say it. Yes, friends, if we love each other, we should manifest it. We should put it in words and in actions that will make marriage happier and safer and better. Only once we make this mortal journey, daybreak on to sunset glow, by your side a comrade travels. If you love her, tell her so. When the road is bright and cheery, health and fortune you may know. No one like a wife to share it. If you love her, tell her so. Though the way be dark, stormy, and the tears of heartbreak flow, she has shared your loss and sorrow. If you love her, tell her so. Say the words, she waits to hear them. As you said them long ago, faithful then and on forever. If you love her, tell her so.
Appreciate your prayers. Please continue to pray for the Voice of Prophecy broadcast as it reaches out to all parts of the earth. Until next week, this is Orville Iverson, Associate Minister of the Voice of Prophecy, urging that you keep looking up as you go forward in faith. Before leaving the air, the King's Heralds return with a song that they want you to sing in your heart throughout this next week. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, dearest, joys would fade.
Jesus, I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, He is still my own. Though His hand may lead me over dreary ways, anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Have faith in God to bind your hearts together. Have faith in God through every kind of weather. Have faith in God today and on forever. Have faith, dear friend, in God. We hope you've enjoyed our transcribed program today. And so we say, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.